In today's podcast, you'll learn some useful vocabulary connected to the topic of gender equality, so that you can speak about this subject with more accuracy and effectiveness. Welcome to
Aprender Inglés with Reza and Craig.
Hello and welcome, especially if you are a new listener to the podcast. My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And with more than 50 years of teaching English between us, Reza and I are going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. How are you feeling, mate?
To be honest, I feel a little bit tired today.
Why is that, Reza? What did you go out last night?
I was out last night. It was one of the very rare occasions these days that I had a few drinks and got back quite late. I haven't done that in quite a while. What about you?
Well, I was with you. I wasn't drinking, but I did have a late night and very little sleep. But I'm happy to be podcasting, and I think this will wake me up because first this week we have a voice message from friend of the show, Olga.
Hello, Craig and Reza. It's me, Olga, a person who was mentioned in some podcasts by Craig, and in all honesty, I really appreciate it. Craig, it is my teacher who is helping me with my preparation for the Cambridge exam. But each and every time when I was listening to your podcast, I love it. Really, it is so, and I'm waiting for Sunday to hear the new one. Unfortunately, I don't know Reza personally, but I'm sure he is perfect at what he does as well as Craig. So without further ado, I'll get started. First of all, I'd like to say a big thank you for your great job, and I suppose many listeners can share my view. According to my personal opinion, I can say that there is a multiple choice of websites, workbooks combined with courses of learning English. However, your podcast is really informative and it gives the opportunity to gather some options and recommendations of learning this language every time. The thing which is absolutely impressed me was the story from your previous podcast about one disconsolate personal situation which made me get stuck, and it was so sensitive. And I realized that you create not only the digital space where people are able to share their personal success in learning language, but apart from it, you have a broad community from all over the world who shares with you not only good time, but bad news as well. I suppose it's so worthy, really. And what I can say, my congratulations. Thank you for having me here, Olga.
Thank you so much, Olga. It's a pleasure to hear from you. Any comments on Reza's message? On Olga's message, Reza. Reza, any comments on Olga's message?
The same as you. It's a pleasure to hear from you, always. And yes, it's true that you perhaps know Craig better than me, but I hope that the podcasts we do together are useful for you. And thanks for thinking of me, praising me. I think Craig is a better podcaster than me, but I learn a lot from him. I'm getting to almost know what I'm doing, I think, after all these years.
Well, after 10 years, my friend, I think you should know. 10 years of podcasting. So as far as the message is concerned, Olga, one or two things to point out. You said each and every time when I was listening to your podcast. Better to use when I listen. So each and every time I listen to your podcast.
Yes, and Olga, you said something which I imagine you hear a lot when you're studying English about multiple choice. But that expression is only really used when you're talking about doing tests or exams or that type of thing. So it would be better if you said there's a wide range of podcasts, for example, or a huge variety or a vast selection, a plethora, slightly more formal way of saying a huge variety, but multiple choice is more for just exams and tests and that type of thing. One other little thing, you said that the episode with the poem in it, you said it made me get stuck, I think, or made me got stuck. I think what you're trying to say is something like it affected me a lot. By stuck, maybe you mean like to get stuck means you don't move. So maybe you stopped, you know, what you were doing and thought about it a lot. It made you think a lot, or it affected you a lot, I think we would say.
And Olga was speaking specifically about a podcast we did recently in which we mentioned a listener to the podcast unfortunately lost her daughter last year. She died, sadly. And it was episode 511. The name of the episode is From About to Give and Take. And we spoke about different ways to say approximately. And at the beginning of that podcast, we read the poem for Camilla. So thank you for your comments, Olga. It was a pleasure to get your message. And Olga was part of a conversation course I did a while ago. Now she's a private student studying for the C1 exam. If anyone is interested in taking part in my conversation course, it's a group of lovely people that study together online, and we have discussions, debates, role plays aimed at making you a better English speaker. So if that sounds interesting, send me an email. My name's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at inglespodcast.com, and I'll give you more information.
Yes, and thanks very much, Olga, for mentioning the fact that we have a broad community. I like that expression. And yes, you're part of it, and we're very glad that you are.
Absolutely.
So as Craig said, hopefully Olga has learned quite a lot with Craig in their classes. I also can offer one-to-one classes if you're interested, rather than the group option, which Craig can offer you. If it's one-to-one, just you and me, and you're interested in preparing for something specific, could be an exam, or it could be you want to focus specifically on your pronunciation, or it could be grammar, whatever, it's your decision. That's why it's one-to-one. Why not send me an email at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And now let's get to the main topic of this week's podcast, gender equality. Gender equality. So we're going to look at some vocabulary and expressions connected to that topic and then discuss a few questions around this area. So equality, first of all, equal, having the same rights, the same opportunities, the same treatment. For example, we need to ensure equality of opportunity in all areas of work. Now, I saw the word equity, which is the next word on our list, and I knew that equity had something to do with money, the value of something. People speak about property equity, but I wasn't quite sure about the difference between equity and equality. Can you explain that, Reza?
Well, it is used in the world of money, the world of finance, but it's also used outside that world. So the word equity in a non-financial sense simply means fairness or justice in the distribution of resources. So it's not exactly the same as equality. Equality is about having the same rights, whereas equity is about the distribution of resources, opportunities, benefits equally rather than rights. So they're not exactly the same, but they do tend to come, or people want them to come, hand in hand. In other words, together. You're not really going to achieve equality if there isn't equity, most people think.
Here's an example sentence for you. Promoting equity means making sure everyone has a level playing field. And an interesting sentence I found on the internet: equality is giving everyone the same pair of shoes. Equity is giving everyone a pair of shoes that fits, that's the right size. So that kind of shows you the difference between the two words, I think, quite nicely.
If there's equity, it means that you've got what you need to succeed. So one thing is to say, oh yeah, men and women are equal, equality. Yeah, but are you giving women the resources they need to have that equality? That's the equity part.
Yep, I think that's now clear. The next word on our list is empowerment. You might notice the word power in the middle there. Empowerment, E-M. You can see all these words and the definitions and the example sentences on the website. Go to inglespodcast.com/516 to see these words that we're speaking about. What does empowerment mean? Well, that's the process of giving individuals or groups the authority, the confidence, and the control to make decisions and to take action.
For example, education and access to information are essential for women's empowerment.
You hear that word a lot these days, to empower women, for example. That's the verb, to empower someone. I feel empowered. I have the power to establish my sexuality or my gender. Yeah, empowerment.
Another term related to gender equality is the word inclusion. So ending in ION, you could guess it's a noun, and it's related to the verb to include. So inclusion is basically the practice of actively involving and valuing all individuals regardless of their differences. So not only men and women, but young and old, people with physical problems, disabilities, rich and poor, etc. So that idea that everybody gets a chance is inclusion.
And another word is diversity, to be diverse, diversity. So that's the presence, the existence of a wide range of different backgrounds, identities, perspectives, race and religion, a diverse selection of the world or society. And you often hear those two words together, the word we mentioned before, equality and diversity, sometimes go together as an expression. I can remember when I worked for the British Council, we had to do courses on equality and diversity. Do you remember those, Reza? And we had to learn about it and how to use that in our job. It was a very important thing and is an important thing in many companies these days.
Yes, big organizations like the British Council, or really any big organization these days, will always say things like, our workplace or our team celebrates diversity. That's a very typical collocation to put the verb celebrate with diversity by embracing various cultural traditions. Most big companies tend to print things like that in their websites and put them in their advertisements these days.
It's important to know the difference between a roof, which is on top of the house and protects the house against the weather and the rain, and the ceiling, which is very similar, but the ceiling is inside the house or the room. So you might hang a light from the ceiling, but birds might land on your roof. And the expression a glass ceiling is an invisible barrier that stops certain groups, especially women, from advancing and going up to higher positions in organizations. So if you hear the expression a glass ceiling, that means there's a limit that's been put there that really shouldn't be there, stopping possibly women, maybe also people of color or race or different ethnic backgrounds from advancing in a particular profession.
And I think the reason they decided to call this ceiling a glass ceiling, I think it probably comes from the idea of you can't see it, but it's there. So glass is transparent. This ceiling is not supposed to be there. In fact, in many countries, it's almost certainly illegal. Yeah, you can't have barriers to women being promoted. It wouldn't be legal, but they are there. They can't be seen, but they're there. That's why we call it a glass ceiling. It's transparent, but it's there.
And here's a sentence for context. Efforts to break the glass ceiling involve promoting women into leadership roles. Our next expression, you can probably guess, wage, W-A-G-E, which is similar to salary, the money you earn, and gap, or space. So the wage gap is the difference in earnings, the money you earn, between different groups, and it often refers to the disparity or the difference between men's pay and women's pay, the amount of money a man gets and the amount of money a woman gets, the wage gap. For example, addressing the wage gap requires equal pay for equal work. And that addressing means paying attention to or considering.
The next word is a word which actually I saw, although written in Spanish, about an hour ago when I was on the bus coming here at Craig's flat. There was an advertisement on a screen, on a monitor inside the bus, and it was advertising a talk which a famous feminist speaker is going to give. And she's going to talk about things like gender equality, the wage gap, and the word patriarchy was there. But in Spanish, but it looks very similar. I was able to translate it. So the English word patriarchy, that's P-A-T-R-I-A-R-C-H-Y, quite tricky to spell, is a social system where men, the patriarchs, hold primary power. And that way they dominate in roles of leadership. So it's just taken for granted. That means no one questions that men will be the leaders. It's a patriarchy. Nobody expects it to be a woman. For example, we could say that challenging the patriarchy involves questioning traditional gender norms. So a norm is the normal thing. So should it be the norm that it's always a man who's the president of a company or a country? Or it's a man who decides where you're going to go on holiday as a family or things like that. Questioning the norms of the patriarchy is very important to achieve gender equality.
And in the interest of balance, perhaps I should mention that there's also a word called matriarchy, which is exactly the same, but for the woman. And it's quite easy to remember if you look at the beginning of those two words, P-A, patriarchy, papa, papa, and M-A, mama, or mama. So it's easy to remember which is male and which is female.
So we were talking about gender norms. That's basically the same as our next terminology, gender roles. So the norm is what people do, whereas the role is your position, your job, but not in a professional way, what you're expected to do. For example, gender roles in many countries, I suppose that wives are going to do most of the cooking. They're going to do most of the looking after the house.
Childcare.
It's just a given. A given means nobody said it, but it's just supposed that that is a female role. So they're kind of socially constructed expectations, really, because, of course, men can cook, men can look after children. We can't have children, but we can look after them. We can do lots of things, although I'm not sure we can do them all at the same time. That's something that women do better, multitask. But if you think about it, those behaviors that we associate so much with the different roles, they are invented. I mean, why should it be that women, wives, for example, do most of the cooking at home, yet a large number of the world's most famous chefs are men? So clearly men can cook, you know? It's absurd if you think about it.
I suppose if you go back to the time when we lived in caves, it was obviously the man who was stronger and faster who would go out and chase the tiger or the animal and kill the animal and bring it home, and the wife would cook it, and the wife was with the babies. But there's no reason for that to be the case now. We're not going out looking for tigers to kill.
Yeah. And what's more, rather than killing tigers, we're going to, you know, the local supermarket to get a tin of peas. And a man or a woman can do that. It's not dangerous.
Peas are not going to bite you in the arse, are they? Advocacy is our next word. Public support, when you support something or promote a cause or any policy or any kind of idea, then you are advocating for that idea. For example, she's an advocate for mental health awareness, meaning that she promotes it, she supports it. Or he's known for his advocacy of gender rights.
Now, the next word is a word which clearly has very negative connotations, and that is the word harassment. Be careful of the spelling. The verb is harass, H-A-R-A-S-S. And if you want to make that verb a noun, add the suffix M-E-N-T at the end, and you've got harassment, the noun. And it means unwanted and harmful behavior, often repeated, that causes distress or harm to an individual. There's different types of harassment. It can be, you know, verbal harassment. It can be harassment of a man to another man. But very often it's sexual harassment, which is usually carried out by a man against a woman. So the man who's the perpetrator is using sexuality to attack and make the woman feel in an unwanted situation. For example, a thing you'll hear a lot these days is that harassment in the workspace can have severe consequences for mental health. So clearly, if a woman is being harassed by her colleagues, her male colleagues, that's unacceptable for all companies these days.
Absolutely. Now, we've got some gender stereotypes that we think exist in society these days. Now, you might agree with these, you might disagree. We'd love to hear your point of view on these stereotypes. For example, women as caregivers for children. So women tend to be the ones taking care of children. We can also use the phrasal verb to look after children. Very similar, look after, take care of. Do you think that's true? I think it's true.
It is largely true.
It's a stereotype.
It's a stereotype, but it's based on reality that in absolutely all countries in the world, without any exception, even the most progressive, women are far more likely to be caregivers than men, don't you think?
Yeah, even in Scandinavian countries, which are often used as examples of very progressive, groundbreaking countries in social equality. Groundbreaking meaning that they are ahead of the rest of the world. They're leading this progression, this advancement in social equality. Even in those countries, I would guess that there is still that stereotype of women looking after kids more than men.
Another thing which persists in lots of places is the idea that women are expected to be quiet and allow men to do the talking. We wish we had a female podcasting colleague to give your opinion about that, but unfortunately, you've only got two men. But do you think that's true, Craig? I think it does happen, yeah.
Yeah, I think it does happen. And I can give an example. Sometimes we need to bring workmen into our flat to do certain things. Maybe it's a plumber, maybe it's a builder. The other day, a man came in to service our blinds because one of our blinds was broken. The blind is the plastic thing that's very common in Spain that you can pull down over the window to shut out or close out the light coming in, and one had broken, and we asked this man to come round and fix it. And he came round, and my wife asked him a question, and he answered looking at me. And that's something I've noticed a lot, that builders, workmen, people, manual workers tend to talk to the man always, even if the woman asks the question. And that can be really annoying. And I totally understand why my wife will get annoyed at that. She was the one that asked the question, but the man looked at me and answered me and told me the information. Have you experienced something like that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've been in the company of women where it happened. I've seen it in the street a lot. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a true stereotype. But again, if you disagree and if you're a woman, especially a woman listening to this, and you think, well, no, that's not quite true, then let us know. Give us feedback and we'll tell you how you can do that at the end of the podcast.
Now, the next point we want to mention is very controversial. We are just the messengers. This isn't our opinion. Yeah, we are a devil's advocate. We're saying something which is not nice, but it's not because we think it.
Don't shoot the podcaster.
Don't shoot, exactly. So it's this, that women should have children. Many people believe that. It's not my opinion, but many people believe it. And a man without children doesn't really attract much attention. But a woman who doesn't have children in some society still is seen as if she's a failure. People ask, well, why haven't you had kids? What's wrong with you? Or maybe you have a physical problem or you don't have money. Maybe the woman just doesn't want to. But it is often considered a failure. Let me stress, Craig and I don't share this opinion. We're just telling you about other people's opinions. What do you think, Craig?
No, absolutely. And I think sometimes when women put their career before having a family, meaning it's more important for them to advance in their career and children have second place or maybe never have children because their career is so important, that's looked at negatively by some people. Whereas if a man does it, it's fine. And that's wrong. There's no reason why it should be like that. Our next point is that men are often associated with leadership roles, that there are more leaders that are men than women. And this stereotype can limit opportunities for women in positions of authority. And when women do hold leadership positions, they may face additional scrutiny. They may be looked at in a particular negative way, or maybe get the label as being too emotional for leadership. Now, I strongly disagree with that. In fact, I think we need more emotion in leadership, because if we had more emotion in leadership, perhaps we'd have fewer wars and less killing.
Another stereotype is that men are good at maths, physics, and science.
I'm not.
Me neither. So there, Craig and I are examples of the fact that this is not true. But the fact that many men tend to do those subjects, they're not necessarily better than women, but they dominate the area. This might discourage women from pursuing these subjects, which they call the STEM subjects. It's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it is dominated by men, and perhaps that discourages women. But it doesn't mean, in my opinion, that women aren't good at them. In fact, in my family, I have two brothers and a sister. My sister is the scientific one. She's a lab technician. Me and my two brothers have no interest in science whatsoever. But my sister is a scientist.
I think it's changing, though. I think more and more women are being accepted into those science, mathematic fields. Astronauts, there are female astronauts, and now that's not uncommon. Female lab technicians, scientists. So I think it's changing, but it's still not quite there yet. We've got some way to go. Another point is, or another stereotype, men don't cry because crying is a sign of weakness. And when I read that, I immediately thought of my dad, who never cried, or at least never let me see him cry, except when he was getting old. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. He's not with us. But in his 70s and his 80s, he started getting quite emotional. And yeah, I did see him cry. But growing up, he had to be the strong man. He was the backbone of the family. He was the strength in the family, and he would never show any emotion. I don't know if you think that's changing, Reza.
It is changing. I think it's still largely true. In my particular case, I've never seen my father or my mother cry. They both have always been pretty good at containing their emotions. But I remember even when I was growing up, you would see on portrayed in films and TV series, women often crying, but the men who were the stars, you know, the tough guys, the heroes, they were never seen crying. These days, that's different because we just wouldn't believe it. No one would watch such a silly show. So these days, you do see scenes where men, particularly in private, are portrayed crying. But go back to old black and white films, and the men virtually never cry in them under any circumstances, do they? Not the good men, maybe the bad men, maybe the weak men. Yeah, it's considered weakness. But the hero, the good guy, the tough guy, he doesn't cry.
No, no. In the old film. He never cried. Although I sometimes cry watching films and TV series. If it's sad, then I sit there with a handkerchief and pretend it's my allergies or I've got something in my eye, but I'm crying. Yeah. There's nothing wrong in showing emotion for men or women. Men provide for their family is also a stereotype which maybe places pressure on men to be the sole breadwinners. Sole, S-O-L-E, meaning the only. And a breadwinner is the person in the family that earns the money, that brings home the cash, the bacon. To bring home the bacon is to earn the money in the family. Now, in my family, yes, that was my dad. He was the one who managed the money. He paid the bills. He did the work. And my mum was the traditional housewife, looking after the kids, cooking, shopping, cleaning, etc.
That was not exactly my case. My mum always worked part-time, never full-time. But she always worked. There were periods of her life when perhaps she didn't work every day. Maybe she worked 2 days, 3 days a week, 4 or 5 hours. But she always worked, actually. My dad worked full-time and my mom always had a full-time job.
So in that case, did they both share equally the household tasks, the cleaning, the shopping and the cooking?
Not exactly, but there was not a bad distribution. My dad, who's passed away, my mum's still alive, my dad loved his food and loved cooking. So he probably cooked slightly more than my mum. And I'm very happy that's the case because we all preferred his cooking. Although my mum's cooking wasn't bad, my dad was a better cook. So he cooked more than my mum. And because he liked cooking, then he loved shopping for food. So he would do a lot of that. But I must admit, he very rarely cleaned the bathroom or that type of thing. He would hoover, vacuum clean the carpet, yes, sometimes, but not as much as my mom. And he wouldn't clean the bathroom and that type of thing. My mom always ended up doing that. So maybe he did a lot of cooking and shopping simply because he liked it. It might be that, I have to admit.
I was actually very fortunate. Before your dad passed away, I was lucky enough to taste his cooking. And I do second what you say. I support it. He was an excellent cook who made a fantastic curry. Very nice. Historically, certain careers have been dominated by one gender or another. What are some ways we can encourage people to pursue careers traditionally associated with the opposite gender and offer equal opportunity and no wage gap?
Ooh, good question. Do you believe in positive discrimination?
Can you explain what that is?
Well, in the case of gender equality, it means that whenever a job is advertised, they, without even hiding it openly, prefer one sex rather than the other to get the job. These days, it's usually women that they prefer to make up the imbalance. It could be the reverse. It could be that there's too many women in a role, a job, and they want men, but that's not very common. Usually, it will be that they insist that 50% or 60% or whatever must be women. So they literally make it easier for women and harder for men to get that job. And it's openly announced that way. What do you think about that?
No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I believe in equal opportunity, but I don't think that offering equal or forcing equal opportunity, saying, okay, this job's going to be 50% male employees, 50% female employees, I don't think that that would necessarily give equal outcome in the job. Let me explain. Car mechanics tend to be male dominated, and I don't think that's because there's not the opportunity for women to become car mechanics. I just don't think they particularly want to do that job. Bus drivers, lorry drivers, firefighters, soldiers tend to be men. On the other hand, childcare workers, hairstylists, beauty technicians or nail technicians, healthcare workers looking after the elderly tend to be women. Now, you can force that to be 50-50, but then I don't see the point. What do you think?
I agree with you. I don't like positive discrimination either. And I'm not just talking about gender equality. Sometimes they apply positive discrimination as regards racial equality. So there may be cases where they insist that 50% of the workforce must be black and the other 50% white, or 30% Asian, 30% black, 20% something else. I'm also against that. I think that's silly. Just give the job to the best person. If they're black, they're black. If they're white, they're white. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah. You see that a lot in the Oscars. The Oscar ceremonies these days, it has to be 30% black directors or 50% female actors, but they might not necessarily be the best from the whole selection. So just take the best. Don't divide it just to be equal. It doesn't make sense to me anyway, but maybe the listeners disagree. If you disagree, let us know.
I've got a question for our listeners and for you too, Craig. Imagine you had kids. Okay, you don't, but imagine, would you be happy enough to leave your kids alone in the hands of a male childminder? So someone who's paid to look after kids. Not many men do it. Why not? Would you leave your kids in the hands of a male childminder alone? Just, let's say,
a babysitter, someone who looks after your kids when you go to the cinema or go out to a restaurant.
Young kids, let's say they're like 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. Would you leave them in the hands of a male childminder?
It's a good question.
Why are you doubting it? Come on, let's be honest. Say why you're doubting it. You wouldn't doubt it so much if it was a female.
Well, the answer's obvious. Most paedophiles tend to be men.
Right.
So I don't know. But if I knew the person, or I thought I knew the person, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But obviously, if it's someone you don't know, a woman can also abuse a child, although perhaps there's less probability if it's a woman. It's a good question. So what do you think? If you're listening, let us know your opinion.
I'm sure it's not just by chance that there are very few male childminders. I think they just wouldn't get much work. A lot of people would be instantly suspicious because of these gender roles we're talking about. They think, well, why does a man who doesn't know these kids at all, he's not family, want to be around them? Men don't want to be around kids except their own, perhaps, or their nephews and their family. Why would they want to be around my kid? People are automatically suspicious. Not only men, but women are also suspicious of those men, right?
So that's another example of a profession that maybe shouldn't be 50-50, because perhaps there's gender inequality that affects men, which of this could be an example. A person's not a paedophile, a person likes children, and he's a man. Why shouldn't he have the opportunity to look after your kids? So it goes both ways.
Yeah, one last question. We've already spoken about the fact that any woman could do any job, any man could do any job in theory. Okay, and the feminists insist on this. But, you know, I'm going to say something which perhaps some people aren't going to like, but I think it's true. Some people who are very, very, very interested or obsessed, you might say, in gender equality, insist that there must be, for example, more female politicians, bosses, important leaders, and I entirely agree with them. But a lot of those same people don't really shout much about getting more female miners or truck drivers, etc. Some do, but there are a lot of people who seem to focus only on getting women into important positions, which they're not in now, but they're not that bothered about having 50% female minors, because it's frankly, I think, as Craig said, not many women want to be a minor. I don't want to be a minor. Who wants to be a minor? It's a bloody hard job. And I get a bit annoyed when people don't don't make a big noise about that. It's like, oh, we must have 50% women in politics. So even if the female candidate's not so good, you got to vote for her because she's a woman. Okay, why not the same for minors then? Get 50% of women down mines. No, it's obviously ridiculous. So I don't like the kind of double standards that some people sometimes use when they insist on one thing and keep quiet about the less
attractive
roles which are tend to be assigned to men, like coal mining, truck driving. They're not nice jobs. Not many people want to do them. Not many men want to do them, you know?
Yeah, I think that goes back to what we said before about some professions are more attractive to men and some are more attractive to women. Yes, if a woman wants to be a miner, someone who works in a mine digging underground for 8 or 9 hours a day in the filth and the dirt, if that appeals to her, she should have exactly the same opportunities as men to do that job or drive a truck or a lorry. But you shouldn't force it to make 50% lorry drivers female. That's wrong. Okay, well, what do you think? Oh, before we go, just one thing. I have put a link in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/516 to show the positive side, because we've spoken about these stereotypes that may or may not still exist. We've spoken about some problems that I think we still need to solve as far as gender equality is concerned. But we have come a long way since the 1960s, and I've put a video in the show notes showing exactly how far we've come. So take a look. But now it's your turn to practice. So what does gender equality mean to you? And why do you think it's important? And do you disagree or agree with the things that we've said in this podcast? Reza, how can people contact us to let us know their opinion?
You could send a voice message. There's a link in the show notes. It's speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. Or if you prefer, you could write to Craig@Inglespodcast.com or me, BelfastReza@gmail.com.
And if you're a Spanish speaker and you would like to study for free, why don't you visit the Mansion Inglés website? And you'll see there paid ebooks as well and some audios for self-study. Go to the online store. There's a link in the show notes. It's store.mansioninglés.net.
As always, we'd like to say thank you very much to our Patreon supporters. It's a program in which you can donate, if you like, as little as $1.50 a month. And as a way of saying thank you to people who do that, we give them instant access to the audio transcriptions of the podcast. If you're interested, have a look at the link in the show notes. It's patreon.com/Inglés podcast.
And before we go today, we'd like to welcome our latest Patreon supporters who have joined us this month. And they are Charlie, Orlando Olivares, Francisco Armas, Milagros Cerveso, and Ignacio Gil Ruiz. And I see two students there who are in my conversation class. So thank you for doing the conversation course and also for supporting us on Patreon. We really appreciate it. What's next week, Reza?
For next week, we do plan to talk about auxiliary verbs.
We do. Back to the grammar next week. So please join us for that. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening today. Have a wonderful week. It's goodbye from me.
And it's bye-bye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.